Well, it's good to be here and have a testimony to give. And it's good to be saved, you know. And it is. Some of the faces don't look like it. But it is good to be saved. And I'm quite glad I'm saved tonight. And I love the Lord with all my heart. And you know, I'm still serving Him. I mightn't be in Sunday Row anymore, but I'm still serving the Lord, no matter where I am. And that's a privilege. You know, I wasn't always a Christian. In fact, I grew up, I didn't hear the word at all. Very, very much wasn't aware of my need of salvation. And maybe that's a picture of you tonight. And you know, I mind away back in my early years, growing up in Portadown and knocking about the streets and growing into my teens. And even then, into my early teens, I'd never heard the gospel. Didn't know I needed Christ. And I mind at the age of 16, after a lot of things had happened, which I don't want to go into tonight, I mind I came and I began to befriend a young man who we knocked about together, a young fellow called Billy. And Billy had a brother who was a Christian. And he belonged to a wee brethren assembly just along the my road. And Billy arrived at my door one Sunday night. He says, "Everett, are you coming?" And well, we always did. We headed out every Sunday night to the chip shop in Portadown. That's where we spent every Sunday night, say the old bus depot. And I mind him arriving at the door, he says, "Alfred, now we're going somewhere different tonight." I says, "Where we're going?" He says, "Well, we're going to a mission." Well, I hadn't a clue what he was talking about. And but I knocked about with him and we were going anyway. So off we went. And I mind going into the wee hall. And I mind getting into the back seat. And I mind the wee boy, the wee hall was packed. And the first time I was ever in a wee hall like this. And I mind the singing was good, for I like singing. I'm not a great singer, but I like singing. Aaron Nicholson wasn't a great singer either, they say. But when he got saved, he used to sing with all his heart. There was this old respectable dear who sat in front of him, and she one day turned round and looked at him, as much to say, "What kind of a racket are you making?" And Nicholson says, "Well, if you do that again, girl, I'll put it out of you." So she done it again, and she turned round and he stuck his tongue out at her as far as it could go. And that put the nonsense out of her head. But he used to sing and he praised the Lord. And I love singing, you know. I really do. And it's good to sing unto the Lord. Whether it's in tune or out of tune, you sing unto the Lord anyway. And it doesn't matter if anybody looks at you or not. You just stick your tongue out at them. And they'll not look at you again. But I mind that night sitting and I heard the gospel. And I tell you the truth, for the first time in my life, I shook. I was scared. For I came to realize that night in my head. I came to a head knowledge of the truth, that I was a sinner, that Jesus Christ was the Savior, and to die without Christ as your Savior meant you'd be lost in hell forevermore. And for the first time in my life, I came to a knowledge of that truth, but it was only in my head. And maybe there's folk in this meeting tonight and you have a head knowledge of this truth. And you know you're not ready. And you know the only way to get ready is in and through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet, you have never trusted Him. And you know, I came to that head knowledge of the truth that night. And I was brought to a point even in the meeting where I had to make a decision. I felt that. And I was thinking to myself, I'm too young. 16. And I mind sitting in the back of the hall. And this wee boy called Stuart Ewing, he was in Belfast. He's way home to be with the Lord. And I wanted to get out before he got to the door. And I never got out. And he grabbed my hand at the door. And he knew. He knew. But I wasn't 5 minutes up the road till all the desire had left me. All the things that I'd heard, just the devil come, as it were, and snatched the good seed of the word away. And I just went on ahead about my business. Never any consideration again about getting saved for another 6 years. In that 6 years, I got married. We had a son. We had moved house. We had lived in town for a time. We were now living in Annethmore, near beside your minister's own place. And mine sitting in the house one evening, I can't really reflect if it was a Sabbath night or a midweek night. I can't remember. But one thing I do remember is this, and I want you to listen to this, Christian. There's a boy across the road had an interest in my soul. And he was going to a mission in Armagh that night, whatever night it might have been. And he knocked on my door about 6 o'clock. And I was sitting at the fire, smoking away, with no intentions of going anywhere. And this boy knocked on my door. And he said, "Alfred, I mind it. If I knew it was him, I wouldn't answer the door." But he caught me unawares. Just the hand of the Lord was in it. He said, "Albert, would you come to a mission with me?" And you know, I tried to get out of it. But he wouldn't take no excuses. And I respected the boy, for I knew that this boy had been changed by the power of the Lord. He was different. Wasn't what he used to be. And the mind saying, "All right, I'll go with you," just to please him. And I walked into a mission in Armagh, and I sat down, and the singing was brilliant. Again, the singing caught my attention. And I mind the big boy standing up. Some of you might know him, Pastor Harvey Shaw. And he got up into the pulpit, and he opened up the book, and he began to preach. And in the midst of his message, he quoted one verse of Scripture. And the verse of Scripture was this: "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Where I sat in that meeting, listen, it is just as if God took that word and he just stamped it in my heart. And sitting in the meeting under the convicting power of the Spirit, I realized that I was in danger. Because of sin, I've been cast into the lake of fire. And that night I came under conviction again, like I had experienced 6 years prior. Only it was a head knowledge, but this was different. This was a heart experience I was going through. This was a rending of the heart. This was the Lord dealing not with my mind, but with my heart. And I mind sitting in that meeting, and it's as if there was nobody else in the hall but me and the Lord. And the meeting came to a close. And the preacher asked, he made an appeal. He says, "If there's anyone who would like to come to Christ tonight, please raise your hand. It'll not save you, but it'll indicate that you mean to come through with the Lord." And I mind I was sitting in the pew and I just wanted to get my hand up. You know, I was afraid. Scared of what other people might think. And I mind it came to the meeting and the pastor closed the meeting in prayer. He says, "If you'd like to talk to me, feel free to stay behind and have a word." That night I looked my friend in the eye and he was crying for me. You know, Brian and sisters in the Lord, listen. He's crying for me. He had a concern for my soul. Have we lost it today? Have I lost it? The mind saying, "Ian, I need to get right with God tonight. And he brought me through a wee door into another room. There the big man was waiting. The man saying to the man, "Sir, I know I need to be saved, but I need someone to show me the way." He sat me down with this old book. He explained to me as plainly as he could the way of salvation. And he brought me to the point of Romans 10 and 13. He said, "Now, it's up to you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And the man saying to him, "Sir, it's time I called on the name of the Lord." We knelt down beside an old bench. I simply asked God to forgive me for my sin and to come into my heart and to make me a new creation, to save my dear lost soul. And I want to tell you something. His promises are yea and amen. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he can save your soul tonight. Don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what background you come from. Listen. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And I pray tonight as you listen to the preaching of the gospel that you'll respond this evening. Come to the Lord Jesus now. Don't turn him away no longer. Come now. Put your trust in him. I'll tell you what he does. He'll bring a joy to your heart. And the Bible says it's a joy unspeakable. And it is full of glory. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Let us pray. Father, I thank thee for the day and hour that you challenged my own heart in a meeting just such as this. And in the stillness of the preaching, you spoke personally and directly right to my soul. And I pray tonight that it may be the case in the heart of some dear sinner in this room, that they might come not only to a head knowledge of the truth, but it might become a reality within the heart, that they might know what it is to come to Jesus and be cleansed by the precious blood. Bless your servant tonight as he preaches the word, and bless that word to hearts, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29. I want to read just a very few verses, beginning at verse 11. The book of Proverbs chapter 29, verse 11. "A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it till afterwards. If a ruler hearken to lies, all his servants are wicked. The poor and the deceitful man meet together. The Lord lighteneth both their eyes. The king that faithfully judgeth the poor, his throne shall be established forever. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increaseth, but the righteous shall see their fall. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." Amen. And we trust that the Lord will bless this reading of his word. My text for tonight is found in verse 18, where it says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." Maybe we'll just have a wee word of prayer together now as we turn to the word. Lord, we do thank thee for thy goodness and presence here tonight.
Lord, what a blessing it is to our own hearts to listen to others testify of Thy saving and keeping power. We thank Thee, Lord, for Thy grace tonight. And Lord, we pray as we look now at Thy Word that You would help us who know Thee, lead us on. Lord, help us to endeavour, knowing the Lord's help, to be bright and shining lights for Him. And Lord, for any who listen who are not saved, may they tonight turn from their sin to Jesus Christ. We ask it in His name. Amen. Many of you tonight would be aware that the book of Proverbs is a collection of inspired sayings which are given to us by the Holy Spirit Himself. When you read over there at the very beginning of the book in chapter 1 and verse 1, I want to just read from that chapter for a moment, chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "The Proverbs of Solomon the son of David, king of Israel." Now, the word Proverbs there is the word maskel, which means to rule. That's what Proverbs means. It really is giving us a book of rules for everyday life. And I'm sure as you have read through the book of Proverbs in your own time over the years, you have noticed that there is, for almost every conceivable circumstance in life, something that is applicable to that particular situation. The Proverbs indeed deal with a very large variety of subjects. And a key verse in all of the book of Proverbs is verse 4 of chapter 1, where it says, "To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion." How important they are for God's people to read and to take encouragement from. There are 31 chapters in this book, and you and I would do well to read a chapter every day of the month, because they are filled with, well, they're filled with guidance, with practical advice, with counsel for a whole variety of different situations. In fact, Proverbs covers practically every aspect of our life upon earth. How important it is then. The contents of the book brings before us great questions. Questions with regard to our relationship to other people, and that's important. Questions with regard to our relationship with the Lord, and that is vital. In fact, when we read the book of Proverbs, we see questions that bring to our attention the fact that we need to be right with God if we're going to spend eternity in His presence. There is one aspect of this book of Proverbs that makes it a very unique book in the Bible. Now, we know that all of God's Word is inspired. It is all important to the Christian, but almost every verse in Proverbs is self-contained. You could go along there and you could take a verse and you can lift it really right out of where it is, and you do not really need, in the vast majority of cases, to read to know what the previous verse said or what the verse after says. You can take the verses and they can be preached upon by themselves. And the book of Proverbs is unique in that way. And tonight I've drawn your attention to verse 18 of chapter 29, where it says in your authorized version, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." And you may look upon that and say, well, if a people do not see their need of Jesus Christ, then they will perish for all eternity. That is true, but that's not what the verse is saying. For in the original, the words here mean that where there is no revelation from God, the people perish. I'll say that again. Where there is no revelation from God, the people perish. In other words, where there is no preaching, the people perish. And therefore, this verse is not only applicable to those who read it and think, well, if I do not have a vision of my sin, I will perish. This verse is vital for the Christian. For the word perish there means to be going astray and to be continuing to do that. This evening, as we consider briefly this text and think about its meaning, it's one of the reasons why this church upholds the preaching of the Word. Why we place such emphasis upon what the Bible says? Because the Bible is a word of counsel. The Bible is my enlightenment. The Bible is your enlightenment, Christian. The Bible is the Christian, or is the unsaved person's only hope. It is their only hope. Because where there is no preaching, then the people perish, and they will continue to do that, as this verse is saying to us tonight. And one of the greatest blessings that we have in Northern Ireland, and I think it's important to mention that at the commencement of another year, one of our greatest blessings is an open Bible. You would be well aware that Britain's greatness, in a large degree stemmed from her love of the Bible and an open Bible at that. Someone also has said concerning the United States, now we know that that is a country that has many faults and all of that, but in parts of America, the Bible is an open book. There is very much gospel preaching. And if you go to conservative parts of the United States, there are many, many people who would endeavour to live by the teaching of God's word. Thousands of them. Whole areas that are almost entirely Christian. And where the gospel is preached for miles and miles in different places. Areas that are known as gospel preaching conservative areas. The Bible is an open book. You see, the Word of God is the foundation of the vision that we're talking about. Because if men do not have the Word of God, then everything else that we do or endeavour to do will be in vain. Now, when we say that the Word of God here is foundational, so it is, but sometimes, not all of the time, it ties in with other things. You remember when Philip went down from revival, he went towards the south and he met the Ethiopian eunuch. And Philip found that person reading the Word of God. He was reading Isaiah 53. He couldn't understand it. And he said that he couldn't understand unless that he could be guided. And Philip witnessed to him. So therefore, you have not only the Word, but you have the witness. But as well as that, there is something else. For while we have preaching and we have witnessing, we need the ministry, the unique ministry of God the Holy Spirit. And when we have that, brethren and sisters, we have a situation where God can transform lives. For we have the open Bible and the preaching of it. And we have God the Holy Spirit applying the truth as he did to that eunuch so many years ago, applying it to a particular man's or woman's heart and situation. When you have the three together, the preaching, the witness or the preaching, when you have the Bible and the Holy Ghost, then you have a situation where men and women can be helped. And I want to look at this text tonight, just towards the end of our meeting. Remember what it means. It means where there is no revelation from God or no preaching, then the people perish. We're asking the question, why do we need this revelation from God? Well, number one, we need this preaching or revelation from God to show us our sinful state. Sometimes people are greatly taken up by what others think of them. Well, maybe that's a good thing and we have to consider other people, and we of course don't want to be a bad testimony. And even in general, people are pleased to know that others think fairly well of them. But the question tonight that we really need to think about is this: what does God think of me? How does God view my spiritual standing? When God looks down on this first Sunday in 2010, is all well with my soul? Is all well with me? Am I a living union with Jesus Christ? Is my relationship with God that which it should be? You can alter that question that I asked just a little bit and say, what in your opinion do you think of those who commit heinous crimes, those who are involved in the vilest things, those who are known for their wickedness, those who have the testimony of being men without mercy? What do you think about those people? Well, you may say, well, those are the most shocking people you would ever meet, and that is true. But remember this tonight, unsaved person, there is a root of sin in all of us by birth. And because of that root of sin, there is the propensity that given the opportunity and the right circumstances, you and I could be brought by our sin to stoop to a level that we never imagined. So let's forget all about those who commit the heinous crimes. And let's remember tonight that there is that in us that could find us in the same position as them. In other words, there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have been looking at Elisha on a number of Sunday evenings, and you will be aware that in Elisha's day there was a man called Hazael. Now this king was ill, or his king was ill, sorry, and he came and asked if King Benadab would live or die. Well, Elisha looked at the young man Hazael and said to him concerning his future and the deeds that he would commit, we will not turn to them tonight. He told that man about all the various things that he would be involved in, dashing little children against walls, all the awful things that he would commit. The answer that came back to him was this: am I a dog that I could do such a thing? You see, the problem was that he was not only shocked, but he was offended that he was confronted with the truth of what he was able to do. That's 2 Kings chapter 8. You can read verses 12 and 13 yourself. But history tells us, it tells us a very grim tale, that before he died, he had committed all of those dreadful sins which Elisha had said he would commit. And you ought to pay great attention to that tonight. Do not underestimate the power of sin. For the Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Are you aware tonight? Are you aware of the awful nature of your sin? Is it not right to say that you need the revelation that comes from God, His Word preached and applied by the Holy Spirit to show you your need? And it would be the prayer of every Christian here this evening that the Holy Spirit might take the Word of God and drive it home to your heart. That God might in mercy remove the scales from the eyes of every sinner that listens to this message. And that they might see themselves as God sees them. A dark soul capable of all of the things that Elisha spoke of. Because sin knows no bounds. And it is no respecter of persons. You see, men do not naturally see this revelation. Over there in 1 Corinthians 2 in verse 14, and again in 2 Corinthians 4 in verse 4, we read about man's understanding being darkened. It always is a cause of amazement to me to see people who are otherwise very intelligent, far more intelligent than I would be, very intellectual people, people who are perhaps great thinkers and capable of great achievement, humanly speaking. But it always amazes me to listen to their take on spiritual things. And how, when you listen to what they say or read what they have said, how their understanding is darkened. Why is it understanding? It is because their heart is hardened. That is why their heart is darkened. Their heart is hardened and darkened because they are lost in their sin. Something that you and I cannot perhaps get our head around. You try to think, well, here's a very intelligent person. Can they not simply understand that they are sinners? They'll never understand that they're sinners unless God speaks to their heart and shows them their sin. Everett spoke earlier how he spent many years without the Lord, until the Lord spoke to his head, and then he knew that he was a sinner. But it was some time after that until God, through His Word, took a dealing with a sinful heart, and he was brought to that saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Men do not see this revelation because their understanding is darkened because of unbelief. The Bible's too simple. We're in a modern age now. We could go on tonight and say, because of the continual hardening of the heart. Remember Stephen, when he was proclaiming truth to men and women, it was for their good that they would listen. But it says that they stopped their ears. How many people do that in Free Presbyterian pews? Stopped their ears. They didn't want to listen anymore. They stopped their ears as I rushed upon him to take his life. Men don't see this revelation from God because their understanding is darkened, because of unbelief, because of a continual hardening of the heart, and sometimes because of attachments. Remember Agrippa. Remember he said those words that preachers often emphasize as words that are to be studied very carefully. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian, but think of his attachments. What would it have meant for him if he were to turn to the Lord? And as we've entered another year, I think it's true tonight to say that men and women need this revelation from God to show them the awfulness of their sinful state. And while we do not go out to pick trouble with anybody, or we do not want to, humanly speaking, offend people, we must be forthright and honest and straightforward in our witness as a congregation and as individuals, and showing men and women the awfulness of their sin. The worst thing that a ministry can do is gloss over man's natural sinful state. It's not only the worst thing you can do in the sight of the Lord, but it could damn that man's soul for all eternity. But we need this revelation from God not only to show us the true state of our hearts because of our sin, but we need this revelation from God to show us that there one day is a culmination of our sinful life. There one day is a culmination of our sinful walk. The Bible says concerning the heart that it is desperately wicked. But we need to recognize tonight that while we may spend many years running from the Lord, one day all of the opportunities will be gone. One day all of the running from God for a man or woman will be gone forever. There will be no more need to run. There will be no more opportunity, because men will be without Christ and without Him forevermore. And if we bring a person to the Bible and show them how the Bible speaks about the second death, the Bible calls it eternal death, a never-ceasing death, where someone said that people are dying and yet they never die. They're in the pangs of the Christ rejecter's hell and torment forever and ever. And if we bring a person to that and show it to them as graphically as we possibly can, how we need God the Holy Spirit to use what we say and to apply what we say to the hearts of men and women. You know, there's a verse over there, and it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm just going to read it to you now. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9 says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." In the context, that is not only referring to heaven, and it is referring to heaven, but it is also referring to the walk of the Christian on earth. How many blessings the Lord has for the Christian. But remember this tonight, unsaved person. We could alter that little bit and put it like this: I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that continually reject Him. The things that He has prepared for them that continually reject Him. Here is a situation that is certain, a situation that ought to constrain you on your downward path. I think it was C.H. Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher in England, once said, he said, "In hell, sinners exist consciously, feeling pangs of conscience and excruciating pain. For them there is no rest, no comfort, not a single water drop of mercy, only weeping and gnashing of teeth." And we think of what we said tonight, unsaved person. Surely, if you really got a grasp of this truth, that God is trying and seeking through His Word, through the preaching of His Word, to show you that there will be an end of your sinful walk. There will be that time when for you there will be no more sin upon earth, but for you there will be no more opportunity. If you really grasp that tonight, would it not prompt you to come to the Lord, to thank God that He ever showed you through His Word not only the awfulness of your sin, but that one day you would go out to answer for that sin. If one other thought here, we need the revelation from God to show men and women that however far gone they may be, that there is a remedy for their sin. It is not enough to recognize that we're sinners. Again, our brother mentioned that earlier on. It is not enough to be alarmed at the prospect of eternal hell. We need a cure. We need an answer for it all. How can I be before God justified? Well, the gospel is known as the good news. And if the preacher did not have bad news for the sinner, that is that he's a sinner on his way to hell, then we wouldn't need any good news. But the gospel is good news, and there's good news for you tonight. There is one person who is the remedy for your sin, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. I was thinking of the lovely words over there in the book of Romans in chapter 4. I'll read them for you now. Romans chapter 4 says there in verse 25. Well, we'll read a couple of verses before that. It says in verse 24, "But for us also to whom it shall be imputed, we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offences." The word "for" there means on account of our offences. "And was raised again for our justification." The word "justification" there means to be declared righteous in God's sight. And that's what you need tonight. That is the answer to your sin. That is a cure for your sinful state this evening. I read a story one time, and it was of a railway away up in the Highlands of Scotland. There was a railway that crossed a great ravine, and that railway was built over a viaduct. And during a great storm, the bridge collapsed, and a passing shepherd, he realised a train would come sooner or later, so he went away down the track as best he could, and he came to where he saw the train coming. And he stood out and he waved and he waved and he waved. But he waved and he waved, and as he waved, the driver of the train, he just blew the horn and continued on driving, didn't show any indication of stopping. And this is supposed to be a true story. That man, in his desperation, knowing that if they got to the bridge that had collapsed, that train and everyone on it would perish, he threw himself across the track. Now, whether he knew that he was going to die or not, I don't know. But anyway, the train didn't stop in time and he was killed. And he gave his life that they all might live. And the train, it is on record that the train driver later said, "If he had not died, we would all have perished." And dear friend, you can say that concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, and so can I. If he had not died, then we all would have perished. He was raised again for my justification, and he was raised again for your justification. And if you will have this cure tonight, you will have a new faith. It will be a living faith. There's only one true faith. We're exhorted in the Bible to contend for the faith singular once delivered to the saints. Now we live in a day of many faiths, multi-faith, and we're under continual pressure and more to fall in with the rest and be multi-faithed. But if you come to Christ tonight, you will have a new faith, a living faith in him. You'll not only have a new faith, but you'll have a new family. Do you remember what it says in John 1 and 12? "As many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." You will have a new future, because you will be in the hollow of God's hand. I wonder tonight, would you consider him the great remedy for your sin? And as you enter out into 2010, if you receive him, there'll be no more emptiness, no more hopelessness, no more loneliness. He will prove to you that he is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Remember what the Bible says, and I'm sure you have plans for 2010. You have aspirations. There are things you would like to do, maybe places you would like to go, things you would like to purchase. Well, remember what the Bible says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." I trust you'll seek him tonight. I trust that as a congregation, we will continue to emphasize the word of God. And remember that where there is no preaching, then the people perish. And on safe tonight, remember this, that it is through preaching God has ordained the means that you would be saved. You've listened tonight. We thank you for that. We trust that you'll turn to the Saviour and you'll leave the meeting rejoicing in all that the Lord has done for your soul. May the Lord bless these few thoughts to your hearts this evening.
God bless you. Thank you for listening.